Blog Talk Radio.
Our community have become toxic waste, and those in high places are planning to remove the toxic waste. And while we flitter and live this frivolous, foolish life, seeking pleasure from our bodies and pleasure from the bodies of others, and seeking to be famous and wealthy in this world, to be used by the power to make our people think that if you go to school and work hard, you too can be successful. That's a lie. I don't give a damn how many of you go to school and work hard. They select a few out of the mass to deceive the rest that this house is not your house. And you are going to have to think about a house of your own, because white America, listen to me good, man, cannot support you any longer. White America cannot give jobs to her millions of unemployed, much less ours. Did you hear me? Elijah Muhammad told us in the 60s we should pool our resources and get farmland, because there is no freedom without land. You remember those teachings? He said that the time of separation had come, and that we are going to have to think about building a nation of our own. You, in the 60s, you were ready to say it's nation time. You don't say that no more, because you have been deceived into thinking that inclusion into this is your salvation. This that you want to be included in has no future. None.
Greetings and assalamu alaikum. Welcome to tonight's episode of the Time to Leave Blog Talk Radio Show. This is the show that we talk about building communities, separating into these communities, and building and securing and making them flourish. We want to thank you for tuning in to tonight's show. I have a routine that I do pretty much every day. When I get off my work, I come home around 6 p.m. I sit down to a wonderful dinner with my family, and I often watch the local news. And at 6:30, I watch the national news. And increasingly, I notice that there's more killing, more murder, and more destruction. Tonight, there's a kidnapping. There's, children being taken away from their parents by Child Protective Services. You know, things that we're used to seeing, but it's also happening now in non-black communities, in Caucasian communities. It's becoming more and more obvious that we need to come together to provide protection for ourselves. Allah is our protector, and He has been protecting us, because we don't hear these things happening to our Muslims, not often at least. However, we need to come together so that He can better protect us, and so He can give the enemy what is their just due and pressure them, just like the Egyptians were pressured to free the children of Israel. It's really important that we come together and that we can build a community, and so that we could be the example of Muslims of a civilized community, because this country, the more you watch, the more you listen, is getting more and more uncivilized. And even beyond that, the weather, you know, the weather is bearing witness that this is the time of the separation, because the weather is getting more and more severe. So if you'd like to discuss this, if you have any questions, last week we had a wonderful show with Brother Kareem Muhammad from the Greenville, Mississippi Local Organizing Committee. And the brother's always impressive in his expression and his execution of the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan's instructions. He brings communities together, he brings people together, and he builds. And he does it in a cooperative manner. He's able to attract and organize broad spectrum of the community in different organizations. So if you missed the show, I highly recommend that you go back and listen to it, because it's a tool, because the brother has years of experience, and he's happy to share it with us. So I see our brother, Dr. Bridgley Mufmeen, is on the line. I'm going to open Dr. Bridgley's line. As-salamu alaykum, Dr. Bridgley.
Oh, wa alaykum as-salam. First of all, you know, whenever the program starts, you have an excerpt from the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. And it ends with is that, you know, this is what you want to be included in has no future. He doesn't say that you don't have a future in America. He's telling you that America has no future. And what you have just described in terms of what's going on now in the white community that used to happen in the black community, well, if it's happening in the white community, why would you want to live in the white community? It ain't no safer.
Good point.
Okay? It used to be safer, but now it ain't no safer. All the rich white people have already left America. All you have is working class white people whose retirement is being messed up. They're still in their retirement. Mm-hmm. They're still in their benefits. They're losing their jobs. Del Monte just closed down two plants. Everybody's closing, man. You know, in the so-called first resurrection, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad used to have these, you know, the Muhammad Speaks cartoons, and it'll say, close, you know, on the factories, close on the stores, you know. And people would mock us. Man, y'all know you're talking about America ain't never going down. But America's sinking fast. And our people are so hard-headed, stiff-necked, and rebellious and arrogant that they would rather die than admit that, that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told the truth. So they would just rather stay here and die with white folks as they die. Like a dog would stay by the master when the master gets sick, until, you know, and die with the master if necessary. We just like that. Pitiful. So
it's pitiful.
We are thankful for brothers like Brother Kareem, who are in fact taking the national agenda, taking the ministries as the minister brought forth in 2005. That was not just for registered members of the Nation of Islam. It was for the black nation in America. So my brother is taking on that and using the platforms of the ministries to unite people around the program who are already doing things. They may not be registered Muslims, but you can work with them on these issues and give guidance and work along with them. So that's what everybody can do. The Ministry of Agriculture, we do have a national ministry, you know, where, you know, a dictator like me tell everybody what to do. No, we're not quite that bad. But, you know, the other places.
You let us vote, though. You let us vote on things, Dr. Ridgely.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. I do let y'all vote. And what I'm saying is that they're waiting on a national trade and commerce, you know, a national defense, a national, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, instead of them taking what the mission is and start operating, working out on a local level. And then the national leadership will come out of people doing some work. Now, we started the Ministry of Agriculture. Actually, it was 1997. Me and Sister Ann had a first conference for, we didn't call it the Ministry of Agriculture. We called it the Muhammad Farms Coordinators, farm coordinators. So we brought in the farm coordinators, farm market coordinators from all across the country, and we had our first conference in 1997 in Macon, Georgia, before 2002 when Minister Farrakhan sat down with me and we wrote the mission statement, and he told me to write every master study group and for them to appoint a minister of agriculture. That was 2002. But we were already doing it de facto started 1997 without anybody giving us any instructions. We just did it. All right? So if you're going to be free. Don't be, sitting around. The minister, when the minister gives instructions, you are free to follow those instructions is the best way that you know how to see fit, okay? Anything can be corrected, but you can't correct zero. There ain't nothing being done. Mm. There's nothing to help you with. So brothers like Kareem, I'm sure there are others, and people who are listening to us, we would like to know if you are active in a ministry other than the Ministry of Agriculture. What are you doing in your ministry? How can the Ministry of Agriculture help you all? Maybe I want to come down Founders Day and with your ministry to be a part of our Founders Day and just to have a place to relax, to come and be out of your city and amongst other people in the ministry. Come on down here and join us and get to know one another. It's such a great thing to go to Founders Day here, and then to go to Savior's Day, and we see people who we have talked to on the phone. We have a conference call every Tuesday night, and then you see the people personally. It's just such a it's just so great. You know what I mean? And we have learned each other through working together. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then when you see each other, it's just love, because these are people who you know got your back. Okay?
Right.
Because y'all been working together. It's not a situation that, it's not fake, because we've been working together. And so when you see each other, it becomes real brotherhood and sisterhood. And they can be like that throughout the nation underneath these ministries. So we're so glad for Brother Kareem to come on our program to talk about, his activities. That's all I had to say. I think that, that the minister may run people off. We might not stop playing that tape. That may be running people off. That's scary.
You think so?
No, I'm just kidding. No, leave it up there. They scared. They need to be scared. Need to be dead. And they gotta hear it. The minister made it very plain. This has no future. There's flooding on the coast. There's fires in California. There's earthquakes. There's mass shootings. This is hell. Why you want to stay in hell? Oh, I said you got a little house, you got a little car, you got a little retirement. You want to be close to family? Okay. One of my Facebook friends, I ran into her at the post office the other day, and she said, "So when are the people coming?" I said, "What you mean?" You said, "All the people on Facebook, you talking about separation, people coming down, live around here. When they coming?" I said, "Well, they're coming when their house burned down, and there's no insurance. Now, if the house burned down, and they got insurance, they're gonna build a house again. So when the house burned down or flooded out, and they got no place to go, then they come on down here.
When food prices
food
get
prices.
So when the cost of food gets so high that it's beyond your budget, and it's like, oh, we got a farm, They're growing food in the farm, and I got my Muslim pass, so I'm gonna come down to Muhammad Farms, and that way I always have food.
Well, you know, there's two things that they'll recall. They recall a bunch of chicken, and they recall blueberries, frozen blueberries. This is yesterday, you know, all these recalls. So now, you know, you thought you had some food in your refrigerator or your freezer. Now you got to take that out because of recalls. So I think that it's enough signs, it should be enough signs to leave. Now, I want to caution you, though, about just getting your car driving down to Muhammad Farms. We done told y'all, turn around, don't drive. Don't come down here before you call. Schedule, because we're busy. Somebody came today. Sister Ann was in her kitchen putting together the muffin mix. I was running around Terrell County and Lee County getting supplies. And so I get back, I see this pickup truck in the yard, and there's a sister there said, I've been here an hour and a half. I said, well, sister, I'm sorry. I didn't know. You know, nobody called me. I don't have your number. I said, so I gave him my number. And she said, you got any vegetables? I said, no, ma'am. I said, we won't have vegetables until the end of November, and then in December. We have some turnips, some rutabaga, and some cabbage. But they won't be ready until at least in this month. So call me first, you know. So y'all out there listening now, yes, when you ain't got no food that you can eat in the city, call first. That's all I got to say. Call first.
Praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. Yeah, I really enjoy Brother Kareem because the way he approaches the local organizing committee and the ministries and reaching out to other communities, it seems like he's really implementing what we're supposed to be doing in terms of reaching out and building a network. And, you know, as we build communities, we're going to have to network with people
right.
that, you know, may not be in our community, our neighbors. You know, I've got neighbors that
right.
are farmers that may not, you know, want to be or may not be qualified to be in our communities. But still, you know, we still have to keep these buffer zones to where we have good relationships with our neighbors and working relationships with our neighbors. You know, we may
yep.
grow food and other things, but we may have a neighbor that, you know, that has milk, you know, just like
right.
a lot of us go buy products from the Amish. They're not in our community, but we can do business with them because they're civilized.
Right. Yep. So I was getting parts yesterday, and a brother, I didn't know the brother. Brother came up to me, gave me the greetings, and so I gave him the greetings. And I had never seen the brother before. Okay. So there's a lot of Muslims down here I already had now. They've been down here for a while. They're on sabbatical. Okay? So once we set up a community, then they're going to come out, you know, they're going to come out to see what's going on. And I put up a post, you know, how simple, how easy it will be for us to build the nation.
Can't hear you, Dr. Virgin. Can't hear you. Dropped off. No, we can't hear you.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, sir. Nope, not now. We lost you again.
Okay, I'll call you back.
Yes, sir. So we are out here in the country. So out here in the country, sometimes we have communication problems. However, being out here in the country presents opportunities as well as difficulties. You know, one thing about being out here is a low population density. So a business that you may want to start, you have less competition. innovations that you might want to do, or problems that you think you have solutions for, you can experiment out here. So we're excited to be out here. And even though there are challenges out here, there's also opportunities. So it depends on how you look at it. So I'm sure Dr. Ridge will be back on very shortly. And I think he's here right now.
Okay, yeah, so I'm Lincoln. Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. William Slam, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I'm sorry about that. The phone had to come out here on the porch. Now, sometimes I work in the house for a while, and then it messes up on me, so I had to come out here on the porch. But, you know, I heard you talking about some of the inconveniences of being out here. But actually, you know, if you – okay, like we're like 19, 20 miles from here to Albany. We're about 50 miles from here to Columbus. But, you know, we can get to those places as fast as many people can get around in their city.
Mm.
Okay? Especially during them rush hours they had, because we don't have that type of congestion. So for
right.
me to get from here to Dawson is like 20 miles. I can get there in 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Easy. Every time. 30 minutes.
Yeah,
30 minutes back. I mean, yeah, Albany. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Albany. Dawson is only like 13 miles. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I mean, we got all the places for you to throw away your money. They got two Walmart. They got Target. They got TJ Maxx. They got every store that you can think of. They have it in Albany. They got the movie
yep.
house. So you know, they got Starbucks. Okay, so, you know, there's nothing of that world that you would miss out on being here, except, you know, it's just, you know, maybe it's not, I mean, well, it's not as much shooting, and you don't hear many ambulances, but besides
right.
that, and glass breaking, I know when I stayed in New York, my brother, years ago, for some reason, people were breaking glass all night long. They were throwing glass out there. Windows into the backyard. You know, they ain't no really backyard, just this court in the middle of all these apartments, and they had this vacant spot in the middle. And all night long, they're throwing bottles out there. So you hear these bottles crashing. Ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But that's city life? I don't think so. We went to the city. Well, the people who live in the cities now did not move to those cities. It was their grandparents who moved from the South up to those big cities.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then the grandparents had children, and those children got jobs at the factory, and they retiring. But now there's no jobs for the grandchildren and
nope.
the great-grandchildren
nope.
in those cities.
Mm-hmm.
So why stay? You got fires in California. You got snow up in the Midwest and New York and Connecticut. You got all types of traffic problems, but you ain't got no way to make no money, and the cost of living is ridiculous. Just surviving and not thriving and not happy. So, you know, there's so much available down here. You know, you can sell what you got up there, come down here, get two or three times or four times what your money can bring. Because it's here. Because the older white people is dying and their children is not coming back here. They're going to Europe. They're going down to the beach. I'm telling you, they ain't coming back here. People say, well, how are we going to move in down south? What the white folks going to do? They're already leaving. That's what they're going to do. They're already leaving. They're dying and then they're leaving. The children are leaving. So, hey, it's just a matter of who's going to be smart enough to take advantage of that which is already in operation. Master Farah
right.
Muhammad is the master of the Day of Judgment. Go ahead.
That's right. I'm going to say if you organize, you know, if you're in a city and you have some brothers or sisters that you work with or you have a network, you don't have to come on your own and kind of rough it on your own. If you know somebody, you can organize and say, look, you know, we agree that it's time for us to leave. We agree that living in the city life is no longer sustainable. We agree. So we got two or three families. We're going to put our money together. We're going to buy this plot of land, and we're going to build our own complex, our own compound, you know, on 5, 10, 15 acres. And Brother Joe is going to have this part. Sister Susie, her family is going to have this part. And Brother John's going to have this part. And then we're going to fence it in. And, you know, this is going to be our heaven. And then, you know, we're doing this together because Sister Susie, you know, she has three children, and I got two children. She's going to run the home school. And Brother so-and-so, you know, he's a professor. He's going to teach the science. And, you know, and that's how you do it. You can actually plan it, and you'll see that it's affordable and feasible. So it's not like we have to say, okay, I'm going to move out there by Dr. Ridgely and Brother Carlton, and hopefully I'll find something to do. You know, it's different ways that you can do this.
Well, yes, and Ms. Farrakhan said that you study people, what they need and what they want, and then you prepare yourself to service them with what they need or what they want, either goods or services. That's just how you live. But you got to have some skills. You got to be willing to work. You got to be willing to communicate with people. You got to sell yourself, okay? So you have to reach out. But the opportunities are there. People are always looking for something to buy or something that service they need. But you have to provide that. You have to be ready to facilitate that.
Right. Yes, sir.
Well, no, anybody hit the button yet?
That's one of the good things. Oh, brothers and sisters, we are soliciting your input. Anybody have any comments or questions? We'd love to have you chime in on this discussion. You know, if what is your plans or why are you hesitating to make the move, or are you considering making the move, or are you in an area that's already a budding community? Share that with us. We'd love to hear it. Or if you have a question. If you have a question about something we may have said that doesn't sound quite right, please feel free so that we can clarify it.
You know, LeBron James, he's a great brother. In his hometown of Akron, Ohio, he's put up a school, and now he's putting up a dormitory, but it's not just for the students, but for the family. In other words, he's taking children who may have bad situations. He's not taking them from the parents. He's putting up everybody in a better situation. He is buying properties, apartment buildings, and putting people in them. So, but he's a millionaire, multimillionaire. You know, he can do that. We can do that too in our communities, but it's going to take a lot of money. It's going to take a lot of money. Now, LeBron, he got a lot of money. He's doing it. That was great. But how many of us got that money like that? Got people who we know got money like that that can do that? Yeah, we want to, you know, take over our communities. You can, but it's going to take some money. A friend of mine, they just had elections in their city. And they almost got some good people elected in there, but instead the incumbents won, and they found out that the incumbents got long bread. But they don't have the long bread, but there's people behind them got long bread. Okay, so they one person spent $40,000 more than another person in a city council election. You know, we ain't got money like that just to spend to get elected $40,000. That type of stuff in a city council election. So, again, yes, you can take over community, but it's going to take a lot of work and it's going to take some money. Now, if we can get some people who got money to work with us, but they're not going to put their money if you ain't already trying to do something yourself. You got to develop something and then try to pull people in to help you with it. But anybody will come. It's not very seldom you're going to just go there with scratch. You got some on paper. And then you'll go to somebody who got money and say, look, help me do this. I want to really help my community. No, you know, their accountant's going to say, look, Does he have a track record? Does she have a track record?
Does he have a track record?
You know,
yep.
Does she have a track record?
And
if she ain't got no track record.
That's true. But then there's all kinds of causes in our community that we can take up for our people to build that track record. But not only that, to build a track record with our people. You know, so, you know,
right.
If it's something, if it's youth programs, if you have something to offer to work with youth, you can do that. If it's housing problems, if you know something about planning housing, you can volunteer with that. You know, for example, like in Albany, we got an inordinate power. The cost for power, electrical power in the city of Albany is, my understanding is, ridiculous, much higher than any other areas. That's a cost that somebody can take up, and, you know, people will get behind that because nobody wants to pay a whole bunch of money for their power more than their fair share. So that's how we can build a track record and also show that, you know, we are working to help out our community members.
That's right. That's right. Because, like, what we did here in Terrell County about these roads, you know, I had five white folks go with me down there to the county commissions. We set up a W.B. Johnson Road Improvement Association, and I was a president, and they came right along. So, you know, we can do these things. If we would put our mind to it and get our head out of the TV and out of the phones, you know, this cyber space revolution is okay. It's nice, but sooner or later, you got to have some brick and mortar. I mean, now maybe at Savior's Day, we should have a meet and greet for Facebook friends. So you can see who these people are and develop some real relationships. But this cyberspace stuff, I'll tell you what happened. The sister posted on my page that there was a sister who was outside looking for me at the farm. Now, I wasn't on the farm, and I look at my Facebook quite often, but the way they do it, when you post, somebody posts, your friends post on your page, sometimes it'll be right up front, and sometimes it won't. I had to search way down and scroll way down to find it, but that was only after I got home and she said that she had posted it. Well, I saw her name, I looked for it twice, but I never saw the post because it was far down on my timeline. So you can't depend on these things. You know, you can't depend on these things. You're really going to have to get to know one another, and you need to live close to one another to be able to get things done. You really cannot build a nation in cyberspace. You need some land.
And you were saying, Dr. Ridgely, that in the near future, or even now even, but especially in the near future, you can't trust what you see on these social media. And now, you were saying that evidence by the movie, what's that movie with Will Smith? You said
Gemini Man.
You were saying that is like a sign of what they can do, what they plan to do on the internet and social media. So you and I won't be able to discern what's real and what's not real.
That's right. We'll be locked in the matrix. Our head going to be locked into the matrix, and we're going to think we're dealing with reality, and we're going to be dealing with a virtual lie, okay? This may look like reality. You know, they will have us tricked up completely. This is why, you know, I like Brother Carlton and Sister Majida and Mom. You know, somebody just go meet, you know, sit down and eat sometime, you know what I mean? But this, you know, cyberspace thing, you know, you don't even know whether there's a human you're talking to.
Okay? You don't.
You know, you really don't know. You don't know who these people are you talking to in cyberspace.
It'd be an artificial intelligent robot.
Robots, you know, or agents, you know, or trolls, you know, just people just lying. They're not what they say they are, you know. But you got to come out of cyberspace and sit on some real space real time and shake somebody's hand and look them in the eye, and put the shoulder to a task together, so that then you can trust one another. Then you can invest. You can't invest with somebody you don't know. You can't do
that. You cannot.
It's not wise. So you got to first learn somebody. Let them learn you, and you learn them, and then you all can get together and do some things. But it's going to happen. Now, Mr. Farrakhan said, Allah is going to make us separate. Okay?
Yes,
he's going to make us separate. He's just squeezing on all different ways. And there was a map that I put on my Facebook page they talking about how the super rich are getting ready to plan for the future. And they show how America would be carved up by the increased water and how the West Coast would become almost completely wiped out all the way to Arizona underwater.
Man.
Even the Mississippi, it's going to be not a river, but actually it's going to divide the east from the west, and that water is going to be all the way from Lake, it'll be like an island, Lake Erie and all that. That's going to go all the way out, and it's going to be, instead of a river, it's going to be the ocean's going to be in there. And
wow.
Then most of Florida going to be gone. The eastern part of Georgia going to be gone underwater. So, you know, it's just like the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us. You know, I think I've seen enough of what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad told us was going to happen. I've seen enough to now kind of convince me that the rest of it's going to happen too. Okay? Everything so far, he's been right. So I think that it's best to follow his advice and let us plan based on the reality that he said is going to happen. And so let us be in the right position. Don't get caught out in the wrong place at the wrong time.
That's it. I think the key is planning. You know, go ahead and think it out. If it's in your heart, and it should be in your heart, if you're listening to this show, that means that if it is in your heart, just make that plan, write it out, and set some dates, and you know, and let's talk about it, because we're here to help. We want to see you all here, because we want to build that community. And
you got a workbook.
You know,
got a workbook. Tell them about the workbook again.
Yes.
Making that move workbook.
It is time to leave. It is time to leave. So that, just like anything you want to learn, if you want to learn a skill or a science or a language, you need some kind of guide. This is not the definitive guide, but it's a suggestive guide based on our experience. It is called, the book is called The Workbook. It's called It Is Time to Leave. And basically we've just sketched out some of our own experiences, some things that we did right, some things we did wrong. But by going through that workbook, you can avoid some of the difficulties and challenges we had. And also, gives you a head start, in terms of your planning, you know, in terms of, you know, how to get a loan, you know, how to obtain a house or some land, opportunities to build on your property, you know, how to decide when to go, you know, because sometimes being emotional, we say, okay, I'm going now, but you're not ready to go. Or you have things in place to leave, but you're hesitant. But and Dr. Lee put in the mathematics of movement, but it's just from Dr. Ridgely's book. So that helps us to ask, okay, should I leave or should I stay or wait a while? But whatever the case is, it's a good introduction. So if you would like to purchase a copy of it, you can go to our website, timetoleave.us, all spelled out, T-I-M-E-T-O, leave.us, and then go to products, and we have our books, there's T-shirts, and everything there about the Time to Leave movement. So we're getting down to the last 20 minutes. We'd love to have somebody hit that one, make a comment, ask a question. Let us know how your plan is going, or if you have a question on how to start your plan, go ahead and press that one, and we'd love to be able to share. We'll be blessed to know, but we've been blessed to experience.
So did we have a guest for next week yet?
Not for next week. I have a person I'm going to ask to come back on the show. They did a good show. I'm going to call them, and inshallah, we'll have them for next week. But we do have guests for the 21st and 28th. Those have been confirmed. So if we get a guest for next week, that would be three guests in a row, inshallah. But yeah, we're confirmed for the 21st and the 28th. So we're looking forward to that.
Okay. Praise be to Allah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, sister, sitting out here waiting on me. And we don't have, you know, the farm is not a grocery store. You know,
it's not.
People think because you're on the farm. No, it's not. People think you're on a farm that you always got food ready to eat. No, because it's a season for everything, and so there's downtime when you're getting ready for the next crop. You know it's a seasonal thing. You know, then when the crop comes off, we can't get rid of it because a lot comes all at one time, and there's a whole bunch of stuff, and then we'll be trying to get rid of it. Nobody can't come right now. I can't come right now. Yeah, but the stuff is ready right now. I told you when it was gonna be ready. Yeah, I know, but you know what I mean. So, one thing about Mama Nation, she don't wait. Okay, she said, okay, here it is, and get it while it's hot, or not, it's gonna be a waste, and that's the way it happens in farming.
That's why it's important to know food processing and canning, so you can take that abundance and put it away for the rest of the year.
That's right. So, Brother Carl, you got your tractor running yet?
No, sir, not yet. I haven't. I got another project. I need to do some maintenance on my house. This is putting it off.
Okay.
But no, I gotta flush out. See, I know a little bit about auto mechanics, but I don't know anything about diesel. And so I got one brother in the area that knows about diesel, but I'm going to get, you know, look online and do a little reading, and I'm going to try to do it myself personally. And if I can't get it going, then I get some help.
Right.
I got to flush out the fuel line, and let's see what else. Flush out the fuel line and then change the oil, and then I'm going to try to crank it up. But then again, I never, I'm about to get you to help me crank it up. I've never started a tractor before. To start just like a car, just put the key in and pull the choke and start it. Is that how you do it?
Yeah, if you got a battery, got some juice to it,
sometimes
with those,
battery.
Yeah, you know, so if your battery got some juice to it and your starter works, but again, you go have to flush it out because you got them injectors. You got to do something, blow through them injectors too, because it may be some gook, algae produces that gook, and so you know, but you're cleaning out the fuel, but you might have to clean out
fuel injectors.
Yeah. Fuel injectors as well. So you know,
I gotta learn a little bit.
Yeah. We work with, like you said, you can learn anything if you take some time, you learn anything on the internet.
That's right.
On YouTube. Mm-hmm. YouTube college. You can learn anything on YouTube college. Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Get it going because my wife is expecting me to clear that, to expand her garden and turn it into a mini farm for next season. So I'm gonna be under the gun.
Yep, that's what they do, brother. They put us under the gun.
Yes, sir. Now I'm looking forward to it. It should be fun. At least that part.
Right. Praise be to Allah. No, you know, I got another dog, Carlton.
Really? How'd you get this one?
Look, same way. Two days ago, I go out off my porch and I see these two dogs. One of them has my cat's milk bowl in his mouth, walking off with my bowl. I said, put my bowl down. Put the bowl down. It's still in my cat's bowl. And so, you know, I got the cats because, you know, the cats can, they can, the mice, you know what I'm talking about? Dogs ain't no good at no damn mice. So He didn't run off my cat, so I ran them all. I threw rocks at him, ran them all. Then they came back. A few minutes later, I got some more rocks and I ran them off again. And then the bigger one, he decided he wouldn't come back. But the little one, he like a little bloodhound. So I'm running from here over here over to the bunkhouse, and he'd be over there. And so I went over the day, gets tracked in. He's just sitting there, looking all pitiful and everything. I ain't saying nothing to him, I ain't saying nothing to him. And so then I came back over here. Then he came back over here. So I picked up some rocks and threw it at him again. I said, look, you ain't going to come over here because you're not going to mess with my cats. My cats got a job to do. You're not going to mess with my cats.
They got a purpose.
They got a purpose. Okay? I don't mind you being on the farm, but you got to be over there, on that side of the farm, not over here at the house where my cats are. But, yeah, man, I done picked up a dog, stray dog, and come by and adopt us.
That dog is like Lazarus. No matter what you can do to him, he ain't going nowhere, huh?
No, he ain't going no matter what you do to him. I never understood Negroes until I got a dog. And here it is. I don't even have a dog. And here comes the Negro dog. I don't even have a dog. And he come and say, I see you don't have a dog, master. Can I be your dog?
Mm-hmm.
No. I don't need no dog. You can't run off a deer. Y'all, I tried that. Y'all can't run off the deer. I finally got some fence, some electric fence to keep the deer out. So, I don't even need y'all. What can I do with you? He can stay over there at the bunkhouse, back behind there in that area there. I don't care, but not over here. Cause you're not gonna be spooking my cat, bite my cats. My cat's got a job to do. My little kitten got a job to do. They're getting big too. The little one that was. He got a big. He big. He got a big. I call him Big Head. He big. He bigger than the other one. He greedy.
Yeah, that's. You said they caught a rabbit.
Yeah, they caught a rabbit, man. I haven't seen him do that again. But I mean, he had a rat. That rabbit was almost as big as he was. Y'all vicious. Y'all vicious. Good.
Yeah, my cat didn't even do that.
Yeah. I mean, that thing was almost as big as the damn cat was. But, I tell you what, they've cut down the mice population already because that smell, what I'm talking about? Mice got good sense. They smell that in the urine from them cats. Man, they try to find another place, man. They know
that's it.
It's rough. That's it. Cause them cats would tear up a mouse, a rat, and a snake. Shoot. Cats would tear that up, boy. So they're fast.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They can get away from the dog, but I don't want my cat spooked. Okay? So now you stay on the other side of the road. You know what I mean? I never would have started Negroes until I got a dog, brother. And now I got another dog. That I didn't even get myself. Here he come. Lord Jesus. Lord have mercy. Yep, so it's going to take fire and brimstone, brother, to get Negroes out from white folk. It's going to actually take fire and brimstone.
Yes, it was on its way.
Yep, or white folk just leave they behind here. Just leave them, then they stuck.
Mm.
Where are white folks at? They gone. They left you. Now what? What you going to do? You can't go to Europe and Australia and South America. To find them either. They ain't gonna let you in. What you gonna do?
gotta look to yourself.
You gotta work for yourself. But
I
would just love to have a community of believing Muslims. You know what I mean? Who got skills and want to build. That would be heaven. We can build Wakanda
Can you imagine the what a generation that will have been grown up and become adults in our community, would they be like adults, having grown up in their own Muslim community, in their own Muslim environment? Can you imagine how powerful they would be by the time they grow up?
Yeah, and the thing about it is, it'd be so normal for them. You know what I'm talking about? Them setting up businesses, come up with new ideas, and they work on these new ideas and traveling here and there to promote their ideas and sell their products or services. It'll be so natural for them. They won't even know no other different than that. And then of course, that their children will be going with them. You know, that's the way other foreign people do. They carry their children with them on the, in their business, so that the children start off knowing business from the very beginning. And it was a natural thing. They go away to college just to get a degree or to hone some skills or to be able to get another job so they can make money to expand their business or to meet people. You know, but they already know a whole lot about a particular business that their parents are in before they even go to college.
Before they go to college, they already know something.
Wow. They already know something. That's
I mean, I had I was going to say I had a little experience with that. You know, I was working with one of the believers' children. Teaching them the computer and the programming skills, and all of them are homeschooled, and they were such a pleasure to work with because they haven't been in the devil schools. I mean, I didn't have to worry about their attention span, their level of understanding, you know, behavior problems. It was like, I mean, it's like an instructor's dream come true. And I said, okay, if they're like that in homeschool, you know, it's just like how wonderful it would be and to have a community of children like that where the whole community are, you know, the teachers. Like back in the day when the teacher, the doctor, the lawyer all lived in the same, the police officer, everybody lived in the same community. So when the policeman pulled you over, it's like, oh, okay, he knew, you know, you're so-and-so's boy. And so the teacher, you know, you messing up in school, so he's going to go walk to your house and say, okay, you know, your boy is messing up in school. So that's how it would be like in our community. And we all know each other and working on the behalf of the whole group and every individual. So that's exciting to me.
Yeah, it's just the way it used to be. It's and the way it was in Africa. You know, we lived in little small in villages. You know, and I mean everybody knew one another, and it wasn't until the outsider came in starting trouble, and then he segregated, brought us over here, made us slaves. Then he threw us out, and we still build our own communities on the segregation. It's okay. You don't want us. Okay, we build our own. So we did that. Then they said, "Oh y'all trying to get free here. No, y'all got to shut that down. And come on, we give you a job. Come on here. Come on, y'all got to shut that down." So we shut our stuff down and went on and got these jobs. And then they moved all the jobs out of the country, and now we stuck in them cities, no jobs, working two jobs. Some of them working two of them to keep the house that we bought when we had a good job. And now we're trying to keep the house. We got to work two jobs. Man, they ain't nothing but volunteer slavery. And now I knew this was going to happen when I was working with the black farmers. And I saw how the U.S. Department of Agriculture, how they loaned them money just to get them to get in debt so they could take their farm. Now, then right about that time, they started this reverse mortgages. Where you would, you know, the older person, the house is already paid for, and then they would take out a loan against the house so they can have some spending money. But you have to keep your insurance up. Everything's got to be kept up. You miss your insurance payment one time, they find out about it, they foreclose on you immediately. Now, they said that the black people who did these reverse mortgages are losing their homes nine times the rate of white people.
Wow.
All the setup. Another trick. So here it is, you know, work all this hard to get this house and you lose it anyway. And your children don't have it. Okay? You can't win with these people, man. They got game. They got tricks. You just can't win with them. You're going to have to come and let's build something different where we have the power to set the rules and the regulations. I mean, that you somebody skips You should have put the insurance. My wife said they should have put the insurance in there with the mortgage, so that when you pay your mortgage note, you automatically pay your insurance. Because, you know, old people are forgetting stuff. So you forget to pay your insurance, and bam, they take your house.
It sounds like that was the plan all from the beginning.
That was the plan all from the beginning. So, and then you have in them cities, they keep increasing the tax rate. And actually, you lose your house on taxes. Hell, we got people losing property down here on garbage collection, a little small change money, you know, because they ain't got no money to pay for these things, and you lose it anyway. So, you know, we have to build something different, because this ain't nothing but a crook system. The whole system is nothing but scams and crooks, and nobody's looking out for you, and you fall through the cracks, and you gone, you know. Because, you know, you just gone. You lost everything. Now you're on the street. Now they're shipping people out, the homeless, they're shipping them to other cities now. You know, they pick them up.
I heard about that.
And say, look, yeah. They said it's cheaper. You can pay $17,000 rent versus $41,000 in a shelter for a family or four. So New York City said, look, we give you the money to leave town. and a year's rent.
They're paying them to leave.
But then when a year's rent is over, they wind up coming back because they still ain't got no job. They still can't afford. Once that 1 year rent that New York gave them is out, they don't got no job. So they wind up going back to New York in the shelter again. I mean, so it's like, Now let my people go. No, they tell you get out. They're telling you, please
get out.
Please leave. Get out, please. Here's some money.
Yes, sir.
I pay you to leave. Please leave me alone.
He said separation is the best and only solution.
and the best and only solution. And New York and other big cities is doing it right now as we speak, paying you to get out. Leave me alone.
That's right.
I got nothing for you no more.
Yes, sir. Well, we're down to the last 2 minutes, Dr. Richard. We made it.
We made it. We talked that way through that hour. Well, you know, I hope some people got somebody. I enjoyed talking. That's one thing about black folks.
Praise be to Allah.
You know what I mean? You just put us a, give us a stump underneath a tree, and you know, we can talk now. You know, and Muslims. You know, because we think we know a little bit, we can even talk even more. And sometimes what we'd be saying be making sense. Sometimes.
Well, I hope our listeners determined that at least some of the stuff we said tonight made sense, a lot will. But they're here, they're listening. And so if they tune in next week, then that'd be a good sign. Well, listeners, inshallah, we'll have a guest next week. And so you don't have to listen to me and Dr. Ridge talk about cats and tractors. but we definitely have a guest the following week. And if you all can contact us. If it's somebody you'd like to see on our show, let us know. And we'll work to get that person
right
on the show. And we appreciate.
How can they contact you? How can they contact you?
They can go to our Facebook page. You can go to the Facebook page. You can send me an email at Carlton, CARLTON, at timetoleave.us, or you can just go to the website, timetoleave.us, and fill in the contact form, and I'll get that directly. So once again, we enjoy you all being out there. We're here for you. And Dr. Ridgely, I look forward to next week. May Allah bless you all.
Yes, sir.
As-salamu alaykum.
Al-Islam.
Won't you let me? Won't you help me? Won't you help me understand your language?